On October the 15th, 2016, David Wynne created a comic book purely from the suggestions of people on Twitter, and we called it Twitter Comic 2016. Alongside it, we opened up a Just Giving page to raise money for the mental health charity Mind, which is very close to our hearts. You can still donate to that and get a copy of the comic book that David created called Astro Vikings if you go to justgiving.com/fundraising/WHI. We also created a podcast alongside it for 24 hours. And these are the records of the Starship Twitter Comic 2016. We're talking early morning now, aren't we?
We are talking early morning. Yeah. This is segment 14.
Hello, welcome to segment 14. All of your children and belong to us.
The last few hours have basically been the same four people.
Yeah.
You, me, David Wynne. Just, this is really bad podcasting. Not you, listener, although you're there now listening.
Yeah.
Me, I'm Nick.
Hi, Nick.
You're,
I'm James.
That's James is the other voice. So he's the you I was talking to, and David Wynne and Michael Georgiou. David Wynne, it's worth mentioning, couldn't leave at this point because he was he was the Twitter comic person. So he was stuck there. So this would have been, I think, around 3-4 a.m. I think this is the first time we actually mentioned the time.
We're segueing into the morning and going delirious, and definitely I think this is the one where we hit the wall.
So a lot of this segment is us talking about being tired.
This is where I
coincidentally
felt, this is where personally I felt like Nick was Alistair Brownlee to my other less famous Brownlee brother.
I don't know who either of those people
and
are.
And you'd lifted me up and pushed me over the line.
Like
the Brownlee brothers, famously.
Wind beneath your wings.
But famously the Brownlee brothers.
I don't know who they are.
Well, it's not my fault you don't pay attention to the world.
Okay. God, no, that's true. It actually isn't your fault. I have
to. You're just too busy telling perfectly nice Nazis how wrong they are.
So, I think this segment is basically us talking about being tired and doing impersonations of Brian Cox.
Brilliant. Oh, isn't it wonderful?
We also discuss Matthew Vaughan's other good film. We'll leave you to guess which Matthew Vaughan film it is we're talking about. But I guess you'll find out as you listen to this episode.
I gave you the perfect outline.
Did you?
Yes. Listen to the episode.
Oh.
See?
Oh, that was good.
Damn you.
You can do this. Can we have a bit more of a break?
I don't know. Well, I've put the mic up now, so... We can carry on having a break, but just add it. Welcome back to the Twitter Comic 2006.
calm it down. You don't want to intimidate people with the energy. Whose is this?
That's me. David Wynne.
Oh, sorry.
Yours
didn't mean to draw attention to it.
Yours is in the pot still.
I can have. I don't know if I can handle any more.
Okay, fine.
I feel a bit too energized.
Dave Wynne's drawing 24 pages of comic book art, original comic book art, inspired by tweets to the hashtag TwitterComic2016. And he's doing that in 24 hours. We're podcasting along with him. And we're doing that in aid of Mind. Yeah, Mind, the mental health charity. And you can donate, if you wish to, at Mind by going to justgiving.com/fundraising/WHI. Or alternatively, justgiving.com/WHI. Do the same thing, but with fewer keystrokes. How you getting on there, Nick?
I'm trying to find comic people who are still awake on Twitter because theoretically why I'm doing this, why I'm expending vital energy doing this is the lie is that I'm going to try and promote us at them.
Uh-huh.
But the slightly more true is I kind of.
You just want to see what the sleeping habits are of comics folk.
No, I feel
you
like
just need
I need
a social input that other than us three.
Yeah, I feel like I need to remind myself there are people outside the room. More for your all of your good than mine. I mean, I think we might need a break.
From each other.
No, from me.
It's
entirely.
It's not us. It's you.
Oh, mate.
I'm a very particular sort of energy. I like it, but it's an acquired taste.
There is no life outside the room. There is only the room.
Yeah.
The room is all there is. Room without end.
I feel like the time to bother Carla Speed McNeil was probably when we were still talking about her.
Yes.
Probably. Who else?
Who? Sorry?
Carla Speed McNeil.
All right, yeah.
Creator of Finder. I talked about her length earlier.
Yep.
Do you not remember?
Is that the person that John thought was a dude?
No. Who was that?
Oh, that was even longer ago. I can't remember.
And I would have stopped looking at Twitter.
John's not been here for a while. It's probably not fair for me to start ragging on him when he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, God forbid what that would look like.
Mind you, he's barely capable of defending himself when he's here, to be fair, so...
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was unnecessary.
So what's the plan? How much of this is we... Fuck. So I know one of the things was a couple of the conversations you had about mental health you were going to put out as is their own thing or as Two Grown Men episodes?
Yeah, probably.
And there was a We Have Issues?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to repackage all of this, are we? We might listen to it through once to make ourselves sad.
I don't know, I reckon there's some gold here in the wee hours.
I don't know how you find it, though.
I'm not entirely sure that we're going to be able to as neatly package this as Stacey Taylor did with her excellent 24-hour podcast. I don't think that any of us around this table would be able to pretend that we've managed to match anything like the quality.
I feel like neither Barry nor Stacey would stand for any of this at this point, to be honest.
We've had some highlights. I think it's a bit early to be doing our highlights.
You're going to do a pay? Have you got a package ready?
Fuck.
And here are a few of those highlights, listener. The highs and the lows. This is the bit where James started crying. This is the other bit where James started crying. We're not going to.
The other bit we're doing.
Yeah. These are all the bits in the first 5 hours where James started crying. Basically, you did. You were holding it together really well.
Yeah,
earlier.
I didn't cry at all.
Basically, there's 47 bits where James starts crying.
Nobody's cried at all, have they?
When you get to the end. I've cried a bit.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've weeped a bit. Yeah. Just not out of my eyes, isn't it? That's not true. I don't know it. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. You can tell how tired or demented I'm feeling. I actually apologised for that.
Yeah.
It's not how we do it on Two Grown Men, is it? We don't apologise for anything we say there.
No, that isn't how we do it. No, not Two Grown Men.
But you both apologise constantly for the things you say on Two Grown Men.
No, that's true. Just in our tone.
Yeah, but only usually like specifically and very targetedly at you.
Mike asked me earlier on, you asked me something about me. You said, because Mike has, to be fair to Mike, seen me at my absolute drunken worst. Like,
yeah, we know, we've had
which
this
was
story.
I know, and but Mike wasn't there, so he saw me in that state. But earlier on, asked me. He said, you're in this state. I can't remember exactly how you put it. You basically said, you don't seem that different in this state than you did.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities.
The only real difference is my body isn't trying to expel everything all at once. Yeah. But yeah, no, this is just, I'm sorry. This is kind of, well, not sorry. That this is actually just what I'm like. God, that's awful, isn't it?
Mm.
I need some water.
Water's usually a good idea.
Let me get you some.
Oh, thank you.
And get me out of my seat and moving. I think I need blood circulating around my body right now.
I feel like to James, me staring at my cup and saying I need water and just continuing to stare at it might have seemed like I was hinting, but I just forgot for a minute what the next action was meant to be. But the truth is, if I was allowed to, if I felt I was allowed to, if I gave myself permission to, the rest of the time,
I would probably zone out a lot more often. I just know you're not supposed to do that during the day when you've had a full 5 hours sleep. So, oh, we're going for the splash pages now.
Oh, yeah. This is the splash page.
And the good news is it looks like we're going to come in a couple of hours early.
No.
Sorry, that was fair. Sadly, no. That wasn't fair. Disparaging the tactical play.
It's not all splash pages from here, but I saw an opportunity for a splash page. And the lovely Mr. Al Ewing gave me the opportunity for a splash page, so that's where we're going.
Does
what we're having.
It looks amazing as well. The most of the Al Ewing inspired pages seem to be quite Kirby-esque.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Can't imagine.
Yeah.
Is anyone else getting that thing where you feel like you're probably too cold, but then you know that if you tried to warm up at all, you'd fall asleep?
It's called being very, very tired.
Okay, cool, good.
That is like the reason I know I can keep going with this, even though I am far past the coherent point of tiredness, is because I've quite often ended up having to work like this. And it's part of just being very, very tired as you get cold.
The funny thing is I don't remember it from the times, because I used to you know, the thing I'm finding interesting about this is that obviously something about my physiology has changed a little bit, because I used to, most of the times when I went to Glastonbury, I didn't sleep for the whole thing, mostly not chemically aided. I didn't sleep the whole thing, so I was worried about missing anything, and I didn't feel any ill effects at all.
How old were you?
That was the follow up question I was hoping someone would ask. It was probably about 20 years ago. Yeah. But you know, it feels like yesterday, so I should be able to do the same things that I could then. How are you doing, James? You look really tired.
I am fucking shattered, but listener doesn't need to know that. I'm feeling fine. Yeah, I'm feeling all right. I think we've made it. We've definitely broken the back of the night.
That was back of the night being broken.
I mean, this
Adventure Time thing has come in useful.
Yeah, I
keep thinking I should go out for some fresh air, but then when we do have a break, I tend to go to the toilet instead.
And like the thing is, I'm leaning on you so heavily, podcasting wise, in terms of. You're still able to put together a reasonably coherent
facsimile of a sentence.
Yeah, whereas I need Dave to support me in the completion of mine.
Are we absolutely sure that I'm doing that good a job, or is it just that you can't tell any different better?
I don't know. I don't know any different.
Can't tell any different better.
Let's all go out.
Because it's all in the eye of the beholder, isn't
it? Let's all go out for a ride on my bike.
the thing is that you're making it to the end of sentences, Nick. That's still better.
Sometimes those sentences are like 3 or 4 paragraphs long as well. Is a thing I've noticed. Whew.
Sorry.
Whew. That doesn't smell as nice as the stuff you were vaping earlier on.
Yeah, it's the same stuff. I tell you what, it's...
Oh, apparently it's lost my sense of smell.
Yeah, your olfactory senses have gone all doolally. It's probably that pizza. I mean, really...
Oh, it's in my eyes, though.
What's
my eyes feel really tired now, and I think it's that smoke.
What's in pizza that's being made at 2 o'clock in the morning?
I don't know. Probably...
The same as at any other time, but less love.
Yeah.
Yeah, some more sort of misery.
Which is interesting, because normally when you're awake at that time of night, there's love going on. Maybe there's more love in the pizza.
No. Oh,
Jesus.
No.
At that time of
maybe
the night.
Maybe that's why you started foaming at the mouth.
Who started foaming at the mouth?
You said, I've eaten a pizza, I'm foaming at the mouth.
This is like... Earlier on, several hours ago, in one of the earlier instalments of this, which you can probably go back and listen to, listener, at some point later on. I think it's on Mixlr for a while, isn't it? Or is it? Does Mixlr archive it?
Yeah, sure.
I can't give you a timestamp, but you should be able to listen through all of it in a couple of day-long stretches. you can really get your money's worth, because it would take a few days to listen to what it's taken us 24 hours to do.
Yeah, I mean, there was that hour or so where the internet went.
Yeah. Well, so we were talking about, very, very briefly, we were talking about people sleep talking and answering questions fully. And when you said the thing about foaming at the mouth, that someone said they were foaming at the mouth. Mm. Earlier on, I would have assumed you were doing a bit. Now I think you might just be remembering stuff that just really didn't happen.
You had a lot of mucus.
Oh, that's made me really bleary.
Oh, isn't being bleary wonderful?
Isn't it wonderful? Isn't science wonderful?
Isn't 24-hour Twitter comics wonderful?
No. It doesn't seem just rational. .com. Well, there's a scientific underpinning for it. I can't really do accents. How is my Brian Cox?
He's all right.
We'll have a look and I'll tell you.
That was the better one.
He isn't the good Brian Cox, though, for me, so I find it very confusing.
Where's our fucking Kez?
Yeah. Our fucking Kez. Did they swear in Kez?
Where's your fucking bird?
Didn't they show that to all school kids in the 1980s? I don't remember the language. But then they did show us that version of Romeo and Juliet where the actors were really young and like got their nakeds out at school, which is very odd. Like some French version of it or something.
What school did you go? Was that like a private lesson, Mr.
Let me find Utrecht. A version of it. Romeo and Juliet. His name at the time just seemed exotic, but since now it's become quite on the nose. Should have really seen that coming, shouldn't we?
Instead of just him.
Oh, okay. So the version we saw, the version they would have shown us at school, was Romeo and Juliet from 1968, starring... God. I actually remember her face really clearly, even though it must have been several years since I saw it. Starring Leonard Whiting and Olivia Hussey and John McEnery. And I think they were very young when they made the film.
Right.
But by the time I watched it, they would have been much older, so it's probably fine. They would have been older than me, so it's not weird, is it?
Yeah, that's how that works.
Paramount Pictures takes great pride and pleasure in presenting to the American public the return of the greatest love story of all time. You know, you can say what you want about modern-day trailers and stuff, but we've really got taglines much better and more concise now than they were back in the 60s.
Yeah.
That takes up... third of the poster.
Oh my god.
That's the tagline. Oh. That's not good, is it? That's far too big a tagline.
And the poster does make it look like a dodgy, like, Emmanuel
type. There was definitely rudeness. It's by Franco Zeffirelli.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
Well, somewhat relevant, the bosoms have liked the We Have Issues page.
The bosoms.
Oh,
the
I
bosoms.
Saw.
Yeah.
The bosoms. Are they a band?
Sure.
Because if they're not, hello, they're going on my potential band names list.
Hello, the bosoms.
Hi, the bosoms.
Are they still awake?
It was 2 hours ago.
Do you think they're the titular bosoms from the Everyone Needs a Bosom for a Pillow song?
That wasn't Cooler Shake, was it? It was the other ones.
That was
Corner Shop. The other ones.
Corner Shop. Yeah. I listened to them playing that at the first Creamfields just outside Winchester, just as I was coming up with my first rap of speed.
Okay.
So I have quite fond memories of that song, because I was...
enjoying it.
I was rushing, wasn't I?
Mate, no, you take drugs doesn't mean you're from a different country.
And continent, it turns out, depending on which bit of it you're in.
Well, no, yeah, speed can make you incontinent, but that's a whole other...
Oh, yeah, also, and it makes your penis shrivel and all sorts. Yes.
Romeo and Juliet's really sad, isn't it?
Oh, fucking hell.
Because, yeah,
like... I saw that change happen on your face. Yeah. Yeah. It just suddenly dawned on you.
Because, like, they didn't need to die. It was just all a misunderstanding.
Thinking about shriveled penises.
Yeah.
It is a tragedy.
Yeah. She thought he tried to kill himself, and then she didn't. If only she'd waited around a bit, yeah, had a bit more hesitance. Well,
the message I take from that is think then act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, it's the other way. He thought she killed herself, so he killed himself, and then she woke up and saw, found him dead, so then she killed herself.
Wait, to be honest, all I really remember is that there were boobs in it, and they both ended up dead at the end. Also, Claire Danes was in it. That's a different version, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there's boobs in that one.
No. Ooh, but I did love Claire Danes by that point. Yeah. God, Claire Danes, though. James is like, I don't care. She was in My So-Called Life, and now she's basically Jack Bauer.
Keep saying names until I've seen something.
She was in Stardust. She was in Homeland.
I've seen that. Have you seen Homeland? Stardust. I like Stardust.
Yeah.
It's a nice film, isn't it?
Sweet, yeah. I like Robert De Niro.
Don't pin me down on what my favourite bit is, though, because I haven't seen it for a while.
Stardust was Matthew Vaughan's last good film.
Yeah, I think that's done the two. Probably fair.
What was the other one?
Layer Cake.
Oh, I ain't seen that.
Layer Cake's good because it's got no women in it. Unlike all his other films that are bad because they've got no women in them. Because they think they have got women in them, but they're actually just sexy lamps.
I'm with you.
It's a bit difficult, though. The cause and effect thing of Matthew Vaughan is quite difficult. Because we say that, and I totally agree with you.
No, you say that.
Dave said that, and I totally agree with him, except that of the films he's directed, only two of them, actually. He hasn't directed that many.
Mark Millar,
Mark Millar movies, yeah. So, like Mark adaptations of Mark Millar stuff, so it's hard to know
Did he not direct Kick-Ass 2 as well?
Oh, do you know, he didn't.
Oh.
Well, he did do X-Men First Class as well.
Yes.
Which I get confused because I find Rose Byrne so that sounds weird. She is very attractive, but I find her quite an interesting screen presence
She plays Maureen McTaggart. Yeah. Actually. Okay. Because it's only on like the fourth or fifth viewing of that film that I even kind of actually registered her really being in it.
It's not a great version of the character either.
She's such a non-entity character. But it is amazing that she's got the most personality out of all the female characters in that film. How would you have Emma Frost in a film and have her do nothing?
I don't know. I'd at least have her turn into diamond or something.
I think that's literally the only thing she does.
I mean, have her do nothing like that you have a character do, like as a person.
Right. Yeah.
Sexy lamp, mate. You know about the sexy lamp test?
What?
Could the
comic. If your female character can be easily replaced by a sexy lamp.
Then she's not a very good female character. Effectively.
That's a lower barrier of entry than the Bechdel test, isn't it?
I don't think we need to be talking about lower barriers of entry. You always have to take it there.
Well, I've got nowhere else to take it.
You know that thing...
And you know you're not supposed to call it the Bechdel test anymore. It's the Bechdel something else test. Because she didn't actually come up with it. Came up with it and she put it in her comic strip. And
as a thing that two characters... Yeah. As a thing she put in the mouths of two characters. Yeah. It's not necessarily... It's not like a thesis. She didn't do a dissertation on it. She didn't say, this is a thing I believe.
Yeah.
It was just an observation. It should be the Bechdel observation. That would be better.
I think it's Cooper. Something that I can't remember.
Bechdel Cooper. It should be the observation. I think that's better. It'd make people think more.
Bechdel mates test.
But
Before you go on, Brian. Hi, Brian. His teacher had an opinion when he was in college of Romeo and Juliet. Apparently his teacher on college said that Romeo and Juliet is a story of two dumbass fucking kids and I'll fail anyone who says different. I like that kind of direction.
Yeah,
although it does sound like the sort of thing that an academic who is also like writing in the Times Education supplement about how nonsensical the idea of safe spaces in universities is.
Yeah, no,
I'm
prepared to bet that was a man... nearing the end of their career, but I'm prepared to be
a lot of academics are like that in the middle of their career as well. Proven to be wrong.
Now, there's grumpy people in all walks of life.
Well, they don't get where they're being. They don't get where they are by not having opinions about things, like not having opinions they're willing to go on about.
Oh, if only Jesse was awake.
there's a thing that happens. There's a phenomenon that happens in pop culture or fandom or geekdom or whatever you want to call it, where people decide who is the most important or who has the most control of a project that they don't like, based on which person fits their narrative more. So if it's if they don't like Man of Steel or Batman versus Superman, it's clearly the director who has the most control of every part of that, because people don't like Zack Snyder. Mm. But if it's Prometheus, it's clearly Damon Lindelof who is to blame for everything, because people like other Ridley Scott movies and don't like Damon Lindelof.
They forget that Ridley Scott made a good year.
Yeah, well, he's made a lot of clunkers in the last 20 years.
Ridley Scott made a body of evidence? Or body of lies? It's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
He's made a few remakes of things that weren't... American Gangster wasn't a great film. I think that was him. To be honest...
He's Robin Hood's not very good.
There is a lot of writing about how Robin Hood went from being the hottest touted script going around Hollywood, and he bought it, or he got the rights to make it, but he wanted to make a film about archery, which threw away most of what was in the script, so he made that film instead. And obviously every article is written by someone with their own agenda, but it's the thing I read about it seems quite convincing. I mean, I don't really like Gladiator very much. I think there are things in it that were very visually impressive at the time, because we hadn't seen someone spend that much money with that much, forcefulness. Because Ridley Scott, basically, if he decides something's going to be on screen, it ends up the way he pictures it, because that's the sort of person he is. Yeah. And that means that Gladiator has some moments that are visually... People remember them a lot later. But even the lines that people keep repeating, aren't good. It isn't a good script. It isn't a smart film. It isn't even that direct an action movie or anything like that. So it's sort of... A lot of Ridley Scott... He made a couple of amazing films really early on. And then Thelma and Louise has a cultural significance because of what it is.
Yeah, I've not watched it as an adult. I watched it when I was about 14 and thought it was amazing. I'd love to I must rewatch that at some point. Thelma and Louise.
Mm. But, I haven't gone back and watched it since... first watching it, because so much of the other stuff I've watched of Ridley Scott since has made me think I'm going to see the flaws that I see in this later stuff in that earlier stuff. He makes visually spectacular films that don't actually have a lot to them. The thing about A Good Year, that's the one in France, isn't it?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, he was given that, it is basically a tourist board advert, isn't it? France. And in that context, it's a good looking film that makes you feel very, pleasantly disposed to spending time in France. And it's quite a light, it's a very light film. It's basically like a romantic comedy with Russell Crowe in, isn't it? So it's
it's just not funny. It's a comedy that isn't, that clearly is intending to be funny and isn't funny at all at any point throughout the film. And it's all about old men getting off with young women as well. But the thing about Ridley Scott, I'm a Ridley Scott fan. I do consider myself a fan of his work, and I like more of his films than I dislike. But, even at the time when he made Blade Runner and Alien and all that, it wasn't that long after that he made Legend.
Yeah.
which is not a good film.
Which people feel fondly about, but it's the least of those fantasy films in the eight. Like, there were a bunch of... I know it's very different from Labyrinth and Willow and stuff like that, but it kind of fits the same sort of... it's that same period in movies, isn't it? That was clearly his one of those. And it's the weakest of all of those movies, really, and The Princess Bride was probably around then and stuff like that. So, yeah, it is an odd film.
Because it doesn't have a working story, and it doesn't have, like... And all the things that people criticise in Prometheus, oh, wait a minute, about character and story, and those are the things that he's so regularly weak on. I'm agreeing with you, is my point.
Yeah, because I like a lot, there's loads of stuff in Prometheus I like, and it's all stuff that has nothing to do with it being an Alien prequel, which was the other thing that seemed to bug people, and all about the, it's a big budget science fiction movie about going looking for God and finding that God isn't, it's basically about fathers that abandon you. That's what it's about. That's all fathers who are gone and you feel abandonment from it. And that's, like, fascinating. And it's a Damon Lindelof theme, but that stuff in it is all really crunchy and good. The point I was gonna make is that Matthew Vaughn, alongside all of the other films that he seems to like, that people seem to like, even though they're not great films, produced the 2015 Fantastic Four, which I only know because I just read it on IMDb. producers are quite an important part of a movie. I've never heard his name connected to that film.
And he's been a producer longer than he's been a film director. That was how he got big in the first place, was producing the Guy Ritchie films, the early Guy Ritchie movies.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
And Harry Brown. Snatch.
I feel like the Fantastic Four film had a lot of potential if it didn't feature the Fantastic Four. The first half was a lot of body horror stuff, which I thought was fascinating.
I think that's what the trailer... I mean, I haven't seen it, but that seemed... Because I couldn't... Sometimes, if it's a film I really want to see, if it's like... I like Zack Snyder movies. So if it's a Zack Snyder film, I'm happy. I'm willing to watch it, despite the ball ache that having an opinion about those films are on the internet is.
Yeah.
But I don't have a strong enough relationship with Fantastic Four or with the film, like with the director who made that movie, to really bother having an opinion that might be different from the common one. But that seems like, it seems to me from the trailers that that was the film that the people making it were interested in making. And if it didn't turn out that way, it's either because of studio interference or because they decided halfway through, like the creators decided halfway through, well, we're going to have to make this a more Marvel-y or superhero-y movie.
It ended up being a video game for the second half.
And they all do. All of those films do.
Yeah.
All of the Marvel films I've seen have the same flaw, like, but people seem to forgive it. Was it the Travis Bickle and the Riviera guys specifically have connected it to it. The most egregious version of it is the last 20 minutes of the Marvel Studios Incredible Hulk, which, like, the last 20 minutes of Batman versus Superman, the last 20 minutes of Iron Man, all of those, the most specific version of those is the fight between the Abomination and the Hulk in that movie, the big, because in that both of them are CGI monsters beating the shit out of each other, and that's basically how all of those films seem to end. Is like at least one of the people is CGI. The Wolverine was actually pretty good until that point, I thought. That's how that film finishes as well, although there's loads of cultural appropriation in the Wolverine, which I think makes it quite uncomfortable.
I've only watched it the once and not even all the way through.
Yeah,
I got to that last 20 minutes and switched it off.
I think I get really tired in front of the TV quite a lot, and switching stuff off feels like more effort than I've got in me. Look, I sat through Question Time the other day solely because of this instinct. So I'm clearly not looking after myself. but that thing is really, really odd. It's like people have a completely shifting version of who's responsible for films depending on what suits them. the people, well, to be fair, I don't think that many people are watching The Leftovers, which is probably why people haven't driven me mad about it, but the opinions that seem pretty widespread about Lost and Lindelof following Lost don't seem to be coming up with that.
Mm.
And I think the main thing about it is that that show really decisively at the beginning says, this isn't about the mystery. This story isn't about the mystery. It's not important why all those people disappeared. All that's important is that people are dealing with it now. That's what this is going to be about. Which is all about managing audience expectations more than anything else, you know. I don't know. I was determined to talk about Lost at some point today. I missed the conversation you guys had about it. But yeah, so, Matthew Vaughan produced the Fantastic Four. Why did you pat me on the shoulder? Oh no, that was supportive.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But, but so anyway, you're listening to Twitter Comic 2016. this is a 24-hour comic that one person is doing based on, and that person is David Wynn, based on or inspired by ideas sent to us via the hashtag TwitterComic2016 hashtag on Twitter. I suspect he's probably got as many ideas as he knows what to do with at the moment, but it's still nice if you're listening in or following the comic on there to talk to us on there or whatever. One of us should probably be in front of the computer. I'll go and sit there in a minute. This is for the charity Mind, and we are raising money for that. If you are not in the UK and so you're not trading in GBP, which stands for Great British Pounds, I think.
Yeah.
Then
Great British Pudding Basin.
Then the good news is, because our economy is so screwed at the moment, you can give just a tiny bit of money to our charity Mind, and it will go a lot further. Basically, if you put a dollar in now, that's worth something like 15 or 20 pounds.
70 quid.
70 pounds. And we're trying to hit 500 pounds. And hang on. Hang on. Hang on, everyone. Hang on. Hang on. We're at 86%. I'm going to refresh this because hope springs eternal. Wait, James, if we hit 500, do we just stop?
Yeah, I'm going to sleep immediately.
Okay, so we're at 86%. We need £70 to hit our target. If you're in the US or Canada and you give us $5, then that will do it. That will probably sort us out. So that'll be good. We are going to be leaving the Just Giving page open after the fact. Some of what we've been doing today will be going out as podcast episodes as well. Some of it's really coherent. I'd say the first 12 hours were probably really good.
Yeah,
we had like Timothy Swan and George Beedham and Beth Beedham.
Beth, yeah.
And John Shepherd was here.
I need to stand up.
Who else? Who else was here?
Anna
was here. I don't know if she spoke on the. I don't know if Scarlett spoke on the thing.
Yeah.
Steve and Jane were here.
They took part in the quiz and some conversations. Lots of conversations, actually. I think the
Jesse's still here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he's over there. Yeah. I think the stuff with the stuff that was specifically about mental health and the NHS is probably, we'll probably package that together and put that out somewhere, and that's probably pretty vital listening. I wasn't involved in that conversation. It bothers me that the thing that I think is the most vital listening is the stuff that I wasn't on, because I'm quite egotistical. But no. So we're doing that. We normally do a podcast between us all here. We do a podcast called We Have Issues, that's at wehaveissues.net. We do a podcast called Two Grown Men, which is at twogrownmen.net. Big fans of .net. as a domain thing. Mike Georgiou, who is here and speaking, does comics. Mm-hmm. What's your you still at your main site? Your main thing is still Elemental Mike, isn't it? Or are you doing freelancy stuff? Or I don't.
I'm doing more freelancy stuff lately.
How do people get a hold of you for that?
MikeDraws.co.uk.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
David Wynn, who's been speaking a lot, but is also doing the actual comic. He's very available if you do the podcast Jane Mars Explain the X-Men for which he does weekly art, but he did the music for We Have Issues. He's done, actually Mike does the logo for We Have Issues, and he does comics and stuff, and you can find him at David Wynn and in other places. James Gilley, who is at James Momb and is kind of drifting around in the background, really has been the one who, although you'd never know it to listen to him because he sounds pretty like feckless and troubled, but it's basically him who's pulled all of this together. David and the working part of the comic is mainly David and Twitter. There are lots of people working together to put the pages online and stuff like that, but all of the guests and a lot of the conversations and stuff, which at times has seemed like a nightmarishly ambitious thing to do, but I think has largely worked out really, really well, except for the point where we're still trying to talk into a microphone at 4 in the morning.
That hour we spent offline wasn't a highlight.
To 6 o'clock in the morning. Not so sure about that, but some of the programme of activities he has put together, James Gilley, James Momb, has been pretty amazing. So I don't think enough people have really commented on that, because he's basically been hogging the mic for all these bits. So that's really amazing. And I think I might ask the listeners to let us have another break.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. We're going to have another break. We'll be back in a bit. Probably, I think we all need to stretch our legs and maybe like step outside and get some fresh air.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it rains, probably not.
Yeah, so I'm not going outside. That's not going to happen.
That might wake us up.
Oh, but it sounds really good. So we'll be back in a little while, listener. I know there are still a couple of you. Thanks for your patience. You are wonderful.
Thank you.
As I said before, justgiving.com/WHI. Is where you need to go to give the Charity Mind money. Will we even get any gratitude from Mind, or do they just take the money and what?